Last Sunday, I began something I'm calling Principles of Prosperity, or as it says in your bulletin, where did the money go? And I am sure that many times that question has come to your mind. Where did the money go? How did we spend so much? How come we don't have enough to meet the bills and to put the food on the table and to take care of our family needs? And so we talked about the fact that some of our prosperity, when we have it, is a direct gift from God. God gives prosperity to some people. Some people have that privilege of prosperity. And it's not because they're greatly intelligent. It's not because they know exactly what's going on, but God has seen fit to bless. And we looked at three passages last Sunday morning about that. And I'm reminded of the one in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 5, which says, as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. It was the Lord that made the king to prosper. And then we looked at a second point last Sunday morning, and we began to look at that. For some, prosperity is the result of doing things right. And that is the one I want to continue to focus on this morning. Some of you in this room have prospered in your life, and you have investments, and you own some property, and you have a good retirement program that's working for you. And those around you may be jealous because of that. And it's the result of you doing things right. And we also know that within this congregation, there are those that are greatly struggling. And maybe they tried to do things right, but they didn't make the right choices, or they didn't have the right knowledge. Or maybe you are unequally married, and you want to do things God's way, and your unsaved mate wants to do things his way or her way, which are not biblically following principles that God has laid forth in our Bible for us to prosper and to do well. Last week also in our responsive scripture reading, we read about the curses that come on people when they turn away from God and God's way of doing things. We saw that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, in the first 13 verses, that God laid out his promises on Israel, his blessings for them, and he promised them all kinds of wonderful things if they obeyed his commandments. Now, you and I are not Israel. We are not under Israel. But the principles that God gave to the nation of Israel are still true today, because God is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. And we must never forget that verse, that even though we are not Israel, we are not the Jewish nation, we still can learn by the principles that God laid out for them. And some say, well, we don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. And I wish somebody would show me where that is in the Bible. It does say that Jesus fulfilled all the commandments and all the law. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled them all in his life. And then he went and died on the cross and paid for all of our sins, that we might be forgiven for not having kept all those laws ourselves. And you recall that over in the book of James, which was written to church, it says, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, which one of the Ten Commandments don't we need to obey anymore? Can you think of any? Well, you might say the Sabbath day. Well, all that does is remove the fact we have to do it on Saturday. But bear in mind that the six-day work, one-day rest principle was given all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it has been continued all through the Word of God. The only thing is that we Christians move that day of rest from Saturday to Sunday because Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week. And so the Apostle Paul says, therefore, on the first day of the week, let us lay by an offering. So Paul did both. He was a righteous Jew. Paul always worshipped on Saturday with the Jewish people, and then he worshipped on Sunday with the non-Jewish people, the church people. And so Paul was doing it twice a week. Wouldn't hurt any of us if we did it twice a week. Amen? How about Wednesday night? You could come to church on Wednesday night. You know, we're open. I know a lot of churches aren't, but this church is always open on Wednesday night. We have Bible study here for the adults. We have Awana here for the children. And we have a youth group program for the teens, all going on every Wednesday night because we need our batteries recharged in the middle of the week. If you use your cell phone very often, you know you have to charge it more than once a week, right? And how about your spiritual batteries? Don't they need recharging more than once a week? Yes, they do. Well, I want you this morning to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, we have David, who is the king of Israel, the beloved king of Israel, now giving a charge to his son Solomon, who is going to be the king. Then the days of David grew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you turn. Now let's look at that verse 3 again. Keep. To keep something means you hang on to it. You hold on to it. You put it aside in a safe place, perhaps. You protect it. When we keep something, we protect it. We hold on to it. We keep it. Now, what is it that you and I are to protect and to hold on to and to keep? His statutes. Where do I learn the statutes of God? In the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Jesus said in John chapter 14, the night before he dies on the cross, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now you say, wait a minute, I didn't think we had to keep the Ten Commandments. Did it ever occur to you that there are more than ten? Now you can put it down into two if you wish. Jesus one time did that, didn't he? He quoted from Deuteronomy. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy soul, and, number two, thy neighbor as thyself. He said, if you do all those two things, you will fulfill the law. How are we doing on this, folks? Ask yourself, how am I doing on this? Over in 1 John, Jesus repeatedly, God through John writes that you and I are to keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Well, not only are they summed up in those two that I just quoted from Matthew, but they are also in commandments like this, that you and I are to turn the other cheek. When someone abuses you, you're to take it and forgive them 70 times 7. Same person. 490 times. How are we doing on that one? How are we doing on the forgiveness things? Then he commands us not to be bitter. Now, that's not in the Ten Commandments, is it? But that's one of the commands that he gave, in addition to those about bitterness. What about the command to give to the Lord? That's not in the Ten Commandments. It is in the other 603 that God gave to Israel. There was to be sacrifices. There were to be offerings. There were to be gifts given. There was to be celebration days. You say, well, those are all Jewish holidays. Well, we have a holiday or two, don't we? There are two in particular. One we get out of Scripture. The other one we took and made out of Scripture, the Christmas celebration. No place does it say that we're to honor the birthday of Jesus, but every place in the New Testament, we're to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the Easter season, the Easter holidays. Easter is not a biblical word, by the way. Yes, I know. You can find it in one place in the book of Acts. But please understand that in its context, it's not telling us that we're to use that word. That was a pagan word from the worship of Astaire, the goddess of fertility, also called Diana or Venus. So we're not to worship them, are we? But we worship the Lord Jesus Christ in a special way as we recognize the holy day of his resurrection and his crucifixion for us. But back to the text here. His judgments. These have to do with rules and regulations of behavior. His testimonies. His promises of his faithfulness. Did you pay attention this morning as I read Psalm 138? Those are testimonies of God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's provision for each one of us. It's written in the Law of Moses. Now, the Law of Moses covers the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That you may prosper in all you do and wherever you turn. Do you enjoy recognizing God's leading and guidance in the timing of events in your life? And I'm talking about little picayune things that cause you to be in a certain place at a certain time to bump into a certain person that you could easily have missed that personal contact by 1 minute or even 1 second difference, or a decision here that took you there instead of here where you met this person. Do you give God credit for that when that works out? I do. You've heard me say many times about the parking spaces. You don't have to drive around the block 7 times for God to open up the right place. But you better learn to give God credit when it's there where you need it and where you wish it was. Amen? That's right. Let's turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Let me put that up on the board there so you can see it. Chapter 22, verses 11 to 13. This is the same charge. This is just different words recorded from that same conversation we were just looking at over in 1 Kings 2. And now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God, as he said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and the judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Now remember, my theme is this. Some prosperity comes to us because we make the right choices, because we work diligently and hard at whatever it is the Lord has given us to do. And we wisely invest and save. And we are careful about our spending. We need to use all of those things. Be careful about our spending, invest, and save. You see, we don't know when disaster is going to come. And some people live hand to mouth. In other words, they spend everything that comes in without any thought of preparing for tomorrow or next year or when the car needs to be repaired or when the refrigerator needs to be replaced. All of those things take planning. They take saving. They take investing. And it takes hard work. And so that's what he's talking to him about. He said, be strong and be courageous and do not fear nor be dismayed. Then you will prosper. I just reversed the wording of the verse, but I didn't change the meaning of the verse. You do those other things and then you will prosper. Now, in Sunday school hour this morning in the men's class, we were talking about giving a blessing, praying a blessing onto our children. The question was asked, how do we bless them? And really what we're doing is we're calling down God's blessing. We're asking God to bless our children when we pray a blessing over them. And that's exactly what David is doing here. He is praying a blessing on his son Solomon as he is transferring the role of leadership from himself to this younger man, this younger generation, this new king that is going to take over. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God as he has said to you. Now, God had also said that to David. David wanted to build the house of God. David had gathered the materials. David had drawn up the blueprints. David had got all ready to do this, and God said, no, David, you're not going to do this. You've been a man of war and bloody, and I'm going to let your son build it. But it was in David's heart. It was in David's mind. It was in David's planning and preparation. And Solomon got the privilege of going ahead and building. Some of your dreams, folks, will not get realized by you, but they will by your children if you have raised your children well and you have blessed them and asked God's prosperity and blessing upon them. And they will get to fulfill your dream. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. That's our goal, isn't it? To raise our children so that they can accomplish all that we would like to have accomplished and we couldn't. Now, the worst thing to do to your kids is to give them everything they want. You will destroy them. They need to learn to work. They need to learn to think. They need to learn to plan. You teach them how to do those things, but then you've got to let them grow up and do those things themselves. Is it hard watching that happen? Certainly it is. Will they make mistakes? Don't they always? Didn't you? Aren't you still? Aren't we still stumbling along in life? But as we pray and as we seek God's will and God's guidance, amen? Turn over to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 28. Now, I don't have a lot of time to talk about him today, but I just wanted to encourage you to think about Daniel. Here was a man that as a teenager, possibly 15, 16, or 17, we're guessing, somewhere in that age, mid-teens, was hauled off from his home in Israel and taken to be a slave in the country of Babylon. And immediately it was recognized that Daniel and three of his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were of very good character in their brain and in their body and everything. And so the king had them set apart and develop to be special people in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. And you remember the test that they went through in chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel refused to eat the food that was put before him because it was things that were not according to Jewish kosher law. And so he finally asked for water and vegetables. And in the end of a 10-day trial period, you remember that Daniel and his three friends, who later be called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they prospered greatly, both physically and emotionally and intellectually. And when they're brought before the king for a final exam, so to speak, they outshone all the other candidates. That was the beginning of Daniel. Under Nebuchadnezzar, under Nabonis, his son, under Belshazzar, his son, grandson to Nebuchadnezzar, and then under Darius and Cyrus, several Dariuses, several Cyruses, Daniel, as it says in verse 28, prospered in the reign of Darius or Darius, and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Darius was the king of the Medes. Cyrus was the king of the Persians. You remember the Medes and the Persians had combined together, and they had captured the nation of Babylon. One night during a drunken revelry by King Belshazzar, God came down and he wrote in the plaster on the wall, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. You are weighed in the balance and found wanting." And Daniel was brought in to interpret. And he said, it says this, "Tonight your kingdom is required of you." And at that moment, the party was smashed by the invading army that had, during the time of the great party that was going on with thousands of people at this great celebration, they had diverted the river as it flowed under the wall of the city. And they were able to come in on the dry riverbed under the wall and get into the city and capture the palace and then took over the country. And Daniel was transferred to work under those people. And you remember it was one of them that threw Daniel in the lion's den earlier in that chapter. And Darius wrote this. Then Darius in verse 25 wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. And I will make a decree that in every domain of my kingdom, men must tremble in fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one that shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus, the Persian. Remember, my theme this morning is that some prosperity is the result of doing things right. One more passage, and this is kind of a familiar verse over in 3 John, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. I'm sure most of you have heard this quoted sometime. This is John the Elder writing to beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Which was coming first? Financial prosperity, health prosperity, or soul prosperity? If you read it again, you recognize he said, "As your soul prospers, I trust that your health and your wealth will prosper," to put it in the modern vernacular. Now, I want to introduce a second point this morning, and that is this. For some, prosperity is not possible. Because of sin. Because of sin. Why did not Israel always prosper? Because of sin. They turned from following the precepts and the principles and the statutes and the commandments of the Lord. They sinned, in other words. And when they did not do things God's way, it is sin. When you and I do not do things God's way, it is sin. We cannot prosper if we sin. And obviously, there are many, many passages of Scripture, and we'll look at a couple this morning before we finish, and then we'll do the rest at another time. But the first one I want you to look at with me this morning is in Numbers. Now, if you want to find a lot of rebellion and a lot of problems in the life of the Jewish people in those early years, it's to be found in the book of Numbers. It is filled with one problem after another, one rebellion after another, one sin after another. And in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 41, we read these words. Then Moses said, "Why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed." This will not succeed. You need to consider this before you marry someone, young people. You need to make sure that that person is God's choice, not because you want it to be, but because God makes it obvious to you and there is holiness in that relationship. God cannot bless an unholy relationship. He's not going to bless if you're living in sin. He's not going to bless if you're doing the wrong thing. And he's not going to bless your marriage after you marry the wrong person, unless there is repentance on both sides. What did Moses say to these people? "Now, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed." And you need to burn that into your brain. If you transgress God's law, if you sin, if you rebel against God, you will not succeed. Deuteronomy 28, which we read last Sunday morning, and that was the reason we read Deuteronomy 28, because I knew it was coming in the study here. But let's just flip back at it as we finish this morning's study. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verses 15 to 48. We're not going to look at all of them. I'm just going to look at a couple. Verse 15, "And it shall come to pass if," maybe you will, maybe you won't. That's what this "if" means. "If you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." And then verses 16 verse 48 is all about the curses. Now, what will be the end result? Look at verse 48. "Therefore, you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in need of all things. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you." Now, this is the nation that God loves. This is the nation that God has protected. This is the nation of Abraham. This is the nation of Isaac. This is the nation of Jacob. This is the nation that God has said will prosper in the last days after that terrible tribulation is coming on this earth. But in the in-between time, God has promised to take them to the woodshed. In the in-between times, God has promised to take them and allow the enemies to abuse them, because they've turned their heart and their mind away from God. Now, in closing, let's make this application to us this morning. Do you want to prosper? Do you want to prosper spiritually, financially, matrimonially, and in every area of your life? Then you've got to live God's way. You've got to do things by God's rule book. You cannot make up the plan and say, my God allows me to do this, when it's in violation of what the book says. You can't make up your own little God to fit your circumstance and expect the real God of heaven to bless you. It's as plain as that. Everybody's got their own little God they want. They want to make God in their image so that He can approve of what they're doing. Let me tell you, folks, it doesn't work that way. God is God. And God rules and reigns in the affairs of men, the Bible says. And He's going to rule and reign in your affairs, either in blessing or in cursing. The choice is yours. Live as you ought to live. Do it God's way. Live by the principles of this book so that God can bless you and God can prosper you. Save. Invest. Plan. Study it all out. And live by the principles and the rules of God's Word. And be blessed by God. Amen? Let's pray. Eternal God, great Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning. And we ask that You may get our attention one way or another to examine the ways that we walk and the ways that we think and the ways that we do business in our home and in our job. And Father God, I long for prosperity for Your people in this room, in this church, in this congregation. I long to see You prosper them and to bless them, that they may in turn bless others around the world and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who have yet to hear. Lord God, I know You don't prosper us to make us rich. You prosper us to make us able to reach out and to serve others. And so, God, I pray that You may bless and prosper, and that where we are doing things that You cannot bless us and You cannot prosper us, then God, help us to see that, to be convicted and to confess and to change and to go down the right road. We ask these things now on Your people. And then, Father, if there's a man, a woman, or boy, or girl in our midst this morning who is not yet Your child, I pray that You might bring convicting power upon them. Help them to know and to see that they're not yet Your children, that You cannot bless them until they become Yours. And might they cry out to You for forgiveness and salvation. And we'll thank You in Jesus' holy name. Amen.